Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 65, stanzas 1 through 4. Grace and truth shall mark the way where the Lord his own will lead, if his word they still obey and his testimonies heed. 1 through 4 of Psalter number 65. Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, thereof the sixth chapter, Romans chapter 6. But first we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Romans chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, in that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked and that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, Thou who again givest us to be together in this afternoon hour, we attempt first to draw nigh to Thee. We have read a portion of Thy holy word. Lord, shall we sin, who are delivered from that law? God forbid. Wilt Thou give in the heart of Thy own church and the heart of Thy own children that love burning within, that they may walk in all uprightness here below? It is but a short time, that they may travel through this wilderness. Then they shall come to Thee. Then they shall be delivered of all temptation, from all sin, from all transgression, from all iniquity. And there they shall worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Lord, wilt Thou give in the heart of Thy people that true longing, that true desire, even as it was in the heart of Thy servant Paul, when he may say, "It is my desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." But Thou knowest how the heart of Thy people does cleave to this world and all that is therein. Oh, then they also need to be loosened therefrom. Lord, instruct them in Thy ways, and lead and guide them, that they may be examples in the midst of us as a congregation, that also others may be drawn to see the blessedness of that new life that shall never die, and that there may be a desire to leave father and mother, land and people, that we may also be that among that people, and that that God may be our God. Lord, grant it in the hearts of the children and of our youth, oh, that Thou may bless the instruction that they receive in their own homes, in our own school, and here in Thy house, to their true conversion in the days of their youth, that Thou may raise up those who may take the place of the fathers and the mothers in grace, and that also of that rising generation there may be those who may bow their knees in their secret chambers, that may beseech Thee that Thou would look upon them even in the last days of this world, when Satan is let loose as an angel of light, and when he goes about to deceive and to destroy, even if it were possible, the very elect. Lord, may thou give that our children and our youth may be wrought upon by thy Holy Spirit, and that we may be given to rejoice in thy own work when it may be made evident in their own life, that they have made by grace that blessed choice of thy servant. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Remember us as parents. Lord, give us faithfulness in the instruction in the bringing up of our dear children. Remember teachers and principals in our own school and all those that labor therein beyond their right and on their left each day and each hour. And give them also to feel something of that blessed dependence upon thee in all their labors. Wilt thou go also with thy servants over the length and the breadth of this whole world? Lord, wilt thou call more servants into thy vineyard? When that harvest is great and the laborers are so few, and there is much work to do within that vineyard. Lord, may thou give that more may be called and truly sent forth, thrust out into that vineyard by thee thyself, that thou may call many yet in the last days unto that kingdom of God, by and not only that outward calling, but also by thy blessing upon it, that there may be that inward calling, and that they may be wrought upon, turned from evil and sinful ways, and from the prince of darkness to serve the true and the living God. Lord, wilt thou look upon us then as a denomination? Oh, that thou would keep us by thy truth. Oh, do preserve it in the midst of us. Where Satan seeks to destroy it, and where he seeks to destroy also all of the old ways and the old paths, and ever so reverent. Lord, may thou look upon us as a denomination, and wilt thou come again, all work as thou hast worked in the lives of our forefathers, that there may be a holy longing, a holy reverence in the heart of the congregations, and that we may be brought back from ways of sin and following after the ways of this world and the nations that lie all around us to serve their idols. Lord, may thou turn us again, all work within us, that we may not be destroyed from within. When the prince of darkness is permitted to bring error and also laxity in the lives of each one of us in the midst of thy church, that we would be destroyed even from within. Lord, turn us again. Oh, draw our hearts. Then we shall run after thee. When thou shalt return, and when thy face will shine upon us, then we shall be saved with our dear children. Look upon those in the mission fields. Wilt thou look on thy own work and bless the labors of those who labor therein, with all their loved ones and far from many whom they love. Strengthen, uphold them. And especially those who are persecuted in this world, for the sake of thy name, may thou help and encourage them and give them a little token of thy presence and of thy nearness, and that they may be able to continue on in that way of self-denial, and that they may continue to the end, for thou dost say, he that overcometh, that thou wilt bring him into the kingdom of God. Lord, wilt thou look upon all those that rule and reign over us. Give them to walk according to thy holy law and to judge and to rule us thereby. Be with those that are in the warfares. Wilt thou protect them also in their difficult and in their dangerous circumstances, and bring them home again to their loved ones in safety, health, and strength. Look upon all those that mourn, and all those that are afflicted in this life with serious diseases of the body, and those that receive that message home to them. Set thine house in order, for thou shalt surely die and not live. O Lord, give that the cry may go up unto heaven, and that thou may hear from heaven thy dwelling place, and that thou may forgive, that thou may heal, and that thou may turn again to thy ways. Lord, look upon us. In thy mercy, each one of us, those that are not married, those that are separated from husbands or wives, those that are divorced, the children of separated parents. Lord, may thou remember in all these very difficult ways, and may thou supply, give that we may walk according to thy law and to thy testimonies. Oh, teach us, Lord, have dealings with us, and leave us not to go in the way of our own hearts, but turn us again, and then we shall be saved. Wilt thou go before us as a congregation also? Thou knowest those that have been re-elected into the offices, and they will be installed, if all is well, next week. Lord, may thou remember us as a consistory. Wilt thou give us wisdom and strength for all our labors, that it may be blessed and sanctified in the midst of this people. Be with all those that have special needs that we know not of. Wilt thou remember us in this afternoon hour, when we attempt to bring a portion of thy word again as it has been given us by our forefathers. Lord, build up thy kingdom amongst us, all that thou may sanctify and bless that instruction in the doctrines according to godliness and to the heart of each and every one of us, that we might learn to walk in thy ways, that we might learn to yearn, to hunger and to thirst after that precious and that all-atoning blood of thy dear Son. Forgive thou, O Lord, all of our many sins. Take away that which will hinder in this afternoon to bring and to hear thy word. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 134, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Within thy temple, Lord, in that most holy place, we on thy loving kindness dwell, are the wonders of thy grace. Men sing thy praise, O God, and where'er thy name is known, by every deed thy hand hath wrought, thy righteousness is shown. Psalter number 134, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thank you. Congregation, we ask your attention in this afternoon for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 34. And thereof, only questions 92 and 93. Lord's Day 34, questions 92 and 93. Question 92. What is the law of God? Then we will only read the introduction at this time, Exodus 20, verses 1 and 2. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Question 93. How are these commandments divided? Answer, into two tables, the first of which teaches us how we must behave towards God, the second, what duties we owe to our neighbor. So far, our Lord's Day. The law of God. First, who gave this law? Second, who is subject to this law? And third, how this law is divided. The law of God, who gave it, who is subject to it, and how it is divided. What is the law of God? The word law, congregation, that is used in many different senses within the Word of God. The Apostle Paul speaks about the law of faith, the law of righteousness, the law of sin, the law of my mind. He speaks of being under the law and of being without law. And then not only the Apostle Paul, but in many other places in God's Holy Word, we do read of that word law being used in different ways. Most of the time, that it is being used of the moral law, thus the Ten Commandments that were given to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. But then there are also the civil laws, thus the laws that were given to the children of Israel as a theocratic government. And that is that they are governed directly by God Himself. We are given laws, they are made for us by our rulers. And they are to be based, when it is well, upon that moral law. Those laws were also given to the children of Israel, and they were called their civil laws. Then there are also the ceremonial laws. Actually, that is not really the law, but that is the gospel, as it has been given to the children in the Old Testament. So we see it in the tabernacle, in the priests, in the sacrifices, and in many other ways. Sometimes that word law is used even in a more general sense, that it is speaking about the entire Word of God in general, thus also including that moral law. Open thou mine eyes, the psalmist says, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Thus now our instructors, they are asking, what is the law of God? And in what sense then are our instructors using this word law? Then they are using this word to mean the moral law, the Ten Commandments that are given to the children of Israel at Sinai that we read every Sabbath day in your midst. Laws, congregation, are published by authorities. And it is the responsibility of every citizen of a country, of a nation, that they will also know what the laws of their land are. We have an expression in our language that says that ignorance is no excuse. Thus it behooves us, each one of us, to ask, what is the law? What are the laws of our nation? When we are brought into a court, and then it will not do for us to say that I did not know what the law was. That will not deliver me from the sentence of the law. And why not? Because that law was published. Because it is our duty to learn what that law is and to follow that law. If that is now so, concerning the law of the land, how much more is that not so concerning the law of God? How then does it not behoove each one of us as the creatures of God to ask the question that our forefathers are asking here? What is the law of God? That law is published. It is given to us in His Word. It is our responsibility that we may learn that law, that we may strive to know the meaning of that law, and that we may place ourselves in obedience to that law. When we stand one day, each one of us, you and I, before our judge, then this day we know already that law that we will be judged by. It is the law of God. That law was written in our hearts in the creation. That is that law that we have chosen to disobey. And when we have turned our back unto our Creator. Thus, the knowledge of that law that has been greatly darkened within our hearts. So that by nature we do not know that law so very well anymore. There are still remnants, there are still pieces of that law that are known by man. They are still lying in our heart. How do we know that? Because we can go to the heathen, and the heathen even have some certain sense that there is a right and a wrong. And then that sense of right and wrong has been so greatly disturbed. But the fact that that sense still remains shows that there is still some remnant of that law of God still lying in the darkened heart of man after his fall. Thus the conscience of man, even when he lives as a heathen, is still speaking. And therefore, even those people will be judged according to that law, even though they are without law. And yet for us, it is different. For us,
it will be worse. And why? Not because we know by nature better than they, but because that law has been republished to you and to me, and it has not been republished unto them. Thus the Lord has made known that law once again unto his people. He made known his law once again unto the Jews when he brought them out of that land of Egypt, and when they stood before him, and when the Lord gave them knowledge once again of his law. And how about we? No, we are not that Jewish people. But as the children of Japheth, we with our children have come to dwell in those tents of Shem. And so that law of God that is made known unto us again, that leaves us without excuse. What is the law of God? Is that congregation not a solemn question? Because our instructors are not asking here, what is the law of men? But they are asking here, what is the law of God? Thus it speaks of the giver of the law. That is, he who has authority over the whole world. Where does he get that authority? He has that authority because he is our maker, because he is our creator. Then he has authority over each one of us, but he has also authority over every judge and over every ruler in this world. Thus, when they are making our laws, then it behooves them first to be asking, what is the law of God? And when we as citizens who are required by that same God to obey the magistrates, then when we look to obey our rulers, and then it behooves us also to be asking that same question, what is the law of God? What is the law of God? That is not a question that you and I ask by nature. We don't want to ask that question. Why not? Because we want to be a law unto ourselves. Or we are all the same. We want to go forward and we want to do that thing that is right in our own eyes. Congregation, when the Lord is coming, and when the Lord is saying, thus far and no further, then a man is beginning to ask, what is the law of God? Why? Because the Lord plans love. And when there is love in our heart to that God, then we want to walk in a way of obedience. What was the first thing that we read was asked by Saul? When the Lord stopped him on his way, then Saul says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? David says, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. What is the law of God? Congregation, do we ever have an impression When that law is read to us Sabbath after Sabbath day, that it is the law of God. That is what we read every Sabbath. And God spake all these words. Oh, was it ever our desire to know what God has written, what His law is, what the meaning of His law is, that we may also walk according to that law? Is that law of God a burden to us? Or is that law of God a delight or a pleasure to us? It is not our law. It is not the law of the church. No, it is the law of God. That law was spoken by Him when He descended upon the mount unto the people. That law was given by Him, written on two tables of stone by His own finger. The law of God, He that is of that supreme authority, that only wise God, the unchangeable God, and therefore that law written in stone, the law of God, of a holy God, who says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Or do we ever have an impression of the seriousness of that law of God? That not one, what we think is the smallest infraction of that law, can be overlooked by this lawgiver. Oh, how long-suffering is that God, that still continues to spare you and I, though we sin continually against His law. Oh, what does the long suffering of God do for us? What does Solomon say? Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Thus, when the Lord is not coming immediately to cut us off because of our transgression of that law of God, is it therefore that our heart is set in these ways of evil? What is the law of God? That is a law for which God Himself has demanded of His people a great reverence. When He says, "I will descend and I will come to speak unto you," then He said, "Sanctify yourselves, wash your clothes, and come up unto the mount." Oh, how is it in our own life? Do we have reverence for that law of God? Or do we hold our own law higher than that law of God? Do we govern our lives by that law of God? Or do we try to twist and turn that law of God so that it may fit our modern lifestyle, the desires of our heart? And God spake all these words, every one of them. That means we may not take anything away from that law of God. That means a partial obedience that is insufficient. What is the law of God? That is a perfect law. The law of the Lord is perfect, the psalmist says. That means that we may not add anything to that law of God, to teach as a doctrine the commandments of men. What is the law of God? Fathers, mothers, do your children, do they ever ask you, what is the law of God? Oh, how shall it be when our children will have to stand before God? And when they still have that question, what is the law of God? After the Lord has commanded us to instruct our children diligently in His law. Then not only by our words, but also by our actions, which is the best instruction for our children. Have we an impression that we ourselves are subject to that law of God that is our second thought, the subjects of this law? And God spake all these words, as saying, I am the Lord thy God. To whom did the Lord speak those words? You know that, boys and girls? I am the Lord thy God. Would that not be a wonder? If the Lord would say that also to us, to you, I am the Lord thy God. Who did the Lord speak that to? Did not speak that to all the nations in the world, but He spoke that to His own people, to the children of Israel, when He gave them His law. In the creation, then we heard that God has given that law, written it in the heart of every man in the creation. And when we have despised that law, then how many in this world have not been left over to themselves concerning that law of God? But it is in the redemption of His church. It was in the deliverance of the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt that the Lord has once again republished and given unto His children His law. Thus it was a great mercy, thus it was a great privilege. And when that people may receive that law of God again. You believe that, young people? That it is a privilege that we may have the law of God? And then at the same time that He gave that law, then He said, I am the Lord your God. Thus, at the same time that He gave that law, and then He spoke about Himself as being Lord, as being the Most High God of heaven and of earth. But not only so,
Then he says, actually, he says, I am Jehovah thy God.
Thus, at the same time that he gave that law, then he reminds his children of something. Then he reminds his children of his covenant. Of what covenant? Of a broken covenant? Of a covenant of works? No, but he reminds his children of that new covenant.
What did the Lord say in that covenant? You know, boys and girls, young people, what the Lord said in the first covenant. When he came to Adam, and when he made a covenant with Adam, then he said to Adam, this do, that is my law, this do, and thou shalt live. That was that old covenant that was broken.
But when the Lord gives them now his law, he does not say this. Now he says to them, ye shall be my people, and I, he says, will be your God. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of that land of Egypt. Thus, the Lord, at the same time as he gives that law, speaks about a relationship. That is the relation of himself and his people. Why does he do that? Because the Lord, in speaking of that relationship, tells them how that they must now obey that law. That is not as a servant, but he says, you must obey that law as my children. What is it that the Lord has taken out of that law for his own children? In other words, how is that law different for those that are outside of that church? The Lord has taken something out of that law. What is that? One of the commandments? That we still may go in this way or that way that our heart wishes? No. The Lord has taken out of that law the curse. The curse that is due unto that people because of their disobedience. What does that mean? That there is a great difference, congregation, in that law for each one of us also. Because we are together in the outward church of God. But there is a great difference concerning that true church of God and those who are yet unconverted. What is that difference? When we have that law still under that old covenant, then that law still contains the curse. And for every disobedience of that law, then man is liable to that eternal destruction of that God who cannot overlook a single sin. But when we are brought into that new covenant, then that law still remains, but that curse of that law, that is taken out of the way. That is what the apostle means when he says that you are not under the law. Then it is not that they have to live a way of the world in transgression of his law. Shall we sin then, he says, that grace may abound? God forbid. But they are not under any longer the curse of that law. Thus, an entirely new manner of obedience to that law of God. And how is it that that curse of the law that is taken away for that church? Because that is our second thought, who are now the subjects of that law. And who are they? That is every one of the creatures of the Lord. But now we read in the Word of God how that Christ has placed himself under that law. Thus we read that Christ himself, who is the giver of that law, Christ himself, who is Lord of the Sabbath, that he himself has taken that place under that law. Why? In order that he may fulfill that law for those who are not able to fulfill that law. And in that way, he has taken away that curse of that law. If that is so, why is it that the children of Israel, when they stood at Mount Sinai, were so fearful? And why is it that the Lord, when he came down upon that mountain, that he has come down with lightnings and thunderings, that the children of Israel did quake before him, that they had to back away, as it were, from that mountain? There is a difference, congregation, between being in that new covenant and receiving the comfort of being in that new covenant. When did the children of Israel live? That was the people of the Lord. But they lived in the time of that Old Testament. They lived in that time of the shadows. That law was given how? That law was given under the sprinkling of blood. And that was that lamb had to be slain and that blood was sprinkled on the people. That shows that the law that was given not under the old, but under that new covenant. But where was the tabernacle? Where was the tabernacle? Tabernacle was not there yet. And of what did that tabernacle speak? That tabernacle spoke of the gospel. It spoke of the mediator. It spoke of him by whom that they could be forgiven for every transgression of that law of God. But that was hidden for them. They could not see that so clearly when they were standing at that time, when they were first delivered out of that land of Egypt. That is no different today. Because that deliverance out of that land of Egypt, that is a picture of the regeneration, of the conversion of that true church. And then that people, they are receiving that law of God. Why? That is not so that they may fulfill that law in order that they may receive the salvation of the Lord. No, the Lord does not bring his people back into that old covenant, but he gives that people that law as a rule of their life. As he has fulfilled that law, and as he has removed the curse of that law. And yet, how is that law received? How is that law perceived? in the life of dead people who are brought out of nature's darkness and into the marvelous light of the Lord. Then that law is perceived outside of Christ. That law is perceived that same way that the children of Israel perceived that law when they were standing at Sinai. That is why that sometimes that people also, they are exceedingly fearing and quaking before that law. Therefore, that people, they cannot sleep sometimes in the night. Why? Because I have to die and I have to appear before God and I cannot appear before Him. Why not? I am a transgressor of His law. Then that law condemns me from commandment unto commandment. Then that law condemns me, that law cuts me off from all hope that I ever can come again into that blessed communion of the Lord. Why? Because of the spirituality, because of the holiness of God, because of the perfection of the requirements of that holy justice. Are they laying under that curse? No. But they do not perceive it. And it is, and although it is a people that are not laying under that curse, although it is a people that are not under the law, but that are under grace, still this way that the Lord is leading His church is governed by the Lord Himself. Why? Because it is so necessary that they receive instruction in the knowledge of themselves. And what do we read in God's Word? It is by the law that there is the knowledge of sin. Thus, that is one of the uses of that law of God, that we may come to the knowledge of ourselves and of our misery. But that is not all, because we know that this is now the third part of our catechism. And when the children of Israel have finally come into that land of Canaan, then what do we read? We read that they receive that law again. That the law is again given to them on that Mount Gerizim. Thus, that law is not done away with. When that people have come into that new land, no, it remains that law of God. Thus the Lord says, I am the Lord thy God that has brought thee out of that land of Egypt. And He gives that delivered people that rule by which they ought to walk in this life. And He gives them the motive to obey it. What is that motive to obey it? That is their deliverance. Their deliverance. What does the Lord do? The Lord, as it were, He lays His own great goodness before the eyes of His people. And as He lays His goodness before them and His mercy, He gives unto them His law that He might melt their heart into obedience of that holy law. Congregation, has the Lord ever melted your heart under His goodness? How does that then show in our life? is that also in obedience to His law? Let us sing.
Psalter 210, stanzas 2, 3, and 5. The thought of God brought me no peace, but rather made my fears increase. With sleepless eyes and speechless pain, my fainting spirit grieved in vain. The blessedness of long ago made deeper still my present woe. 2, 3, and 5 of Psalter 210. Our last thought, the division of this law. How are these commandments divided into two tables? The first of which teaches us how we must behave towards God. The second, what duties we owe to our neighbor. The Bible congregation consists of books and letters, and those books are divided into chapters and verses. Who has done that? And that is the work of men, the division into those chapters and verses. The law also has a division. But that division that is not made by men, but it is a division that is made by God Himself. Therefore, it cannot be but even that division of the law of God has a significance. We know there are 10 individual commandments. Although Rome is mixing up those commandments so that they may serve their idols. But Christ has also shown that that law has been given in two tables and consists of two parts. In Matthew 22, then we read of a lawyer that came to the Lord Jesus and he is asking him what is now the greatest commandment of the law. And then that lawyer does not mean actually only the moral law, but he speaks about all of the laws. So the moral law, the civil law, the ceremonial law, the laws of God. What is the greatest commandment? What is his purpose? That is to embroil him in the present day controversies. What is the greatest? Some said that the Sabbath, the commandment concerning the Sabbath, was the greatest. Others say it was circumcision. Others say it was the fringes of the garments or the wearing of phylacteries. Thus he must answer this question. And then the Lord Jesus answers this question of this lawyer. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thus, that lawyer receives a great surprise. And his mouth is stopped. And the people of the Lord are at the same time instructed. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The sum of the first table of the law, the first four commandments of the law. Love unto God. How is that? How is that now? In our own heart. The very first commandment, the whole first law. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Is there now love in our heart for God? Oh, did you ever feel how impossible that it is to put love in your heart to God? Because we know what love is in our heart by nature. It is not love to God. It is love to sin. Therefore, what is our only hope that there may be love in our heart to God, That is what we read. The apostle says we love him because he first loved us. Therefore, when we go home in this day, and that we say to ourselves, Lord, I have no love in my heart for thee. I cannot give love in my heart for thee. From where must it come? It must come from thee. Oh, when we feel, when we experience in our heart that we cannot give ourselves love to God, then we may be happy that it is a one-sided work. Maybe not. That the Lord says it does not have to begin with us. Because he will begin it himself. Is that not what we need to bow our knees and ask the Lord to do? To say, Lord, I am condemned already before that the minister has begun even to bring that first commandment. Because I have no love in my heart unto thee. Oh, when the Lord pours out that love of God in our heart, then we shall love him. And then we shall also love our neighbor. Because the Lord Jesus puts here in order. First, love to God. When there is no love to God in our heart, then there is also no love to our neighbor. Then we are hard and cold concerning our neighbor. And Ahab can just stand by and allow Naboth to be slain. But when that love to God is planted in our heart, oh, then love for our neighbor and the soul of our neighbor that is also made to burn in our heart. Then even Melech, he cannot bear it that the servant of the Lord, Jeremiah, is laying in that pit. Congregation, we heard it. What is the law of God? Do we then desire to know it? Oh, that is what now we hope to consider in the weeks to come. Is there then a desire in our heart to come up unto the house of God in the weeks to come? That we say, oh Lord, that I might know also what thy law is. That law of God that contains so much more than we see in a general reading of that law. Psalmist says the thoughts of God, they are very deep. That law that is written in just a concise form, short form, but it includes much more than those individual words. Because what that commandment is commanding, then also the opposite is forbidding. Then it is not only speaking of that specific evil, as we hope to see, but also of every evil which is of that same nature, concerns not only an external obedience, but it concerns an inward obedience. It exposes not only that which is outward, but also that which is inward. Because that law is spiritual. Paul says the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Congregation, what a wonder. If that may now be the instruction that we may receive in the weeks to come, under the explanation of that holy law, that we may be given by the Lord to see that law is spiritual, but I am carnal. Paul says, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. Oh, what a wonder if someone in the weeks to come may also die under the preaching of that holy law. Congregation, what is the first thing necessary in our life? We need to come to the knowledge of our misery. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Do you want to be converted? Oh, ask the Lord. Beseech the Lord. Don't let him go except he bless you. And say, Lord, now we hope to go in the weeks to come. We hope to go, Lord, from commandment to commandment. Wilt thou bring thy law into my heart, that I might know it, no longer merely in my mind. Lord, wilt thou apply it? Wilt thou show me, by that preaching of thy law, how sinful, how great my sins and miseries are? Then there is hope for us. Because then there is room for the blood of the Son of God, which by nature there is no room for. People of the Lord, that law that is given especially to his own people. Oh, that under also that preaching of that law that the Lord would give you to see anew how far short that you come. Because when you may see again how far short, then you may also be given to see what the Son of God has paid. What a perfect and what a great obedience. Then you shall again need that blood, that you may be washed, that you may be cleansed. Then the Lord will receive all the glory. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, remember each and every one of us. Instruct us out of thy law. O, no love to thee. Love to the world. O, show it to us. And give us sorrow in our heart, therefore. O Lord, that this would make us weep, that this would make us grieve, that this would draw us to turn from our evil ways and to seek after thee. O, thou sayest, as far as the east is from the west, so far hast thou removed the transgressions of thy people from them. O give that such may be our longing, that such may be our need and desire. Lord, thou bring us safely to our homes, each one. Go with us in this week. And wilt thou be with us when we hope to gather again in this coming week to commemorate thy incarnation in this world. Oh, give us a desire to be together. And wilt thou be in our midst. Help each one in our labors in this world. Remember our own wife and children. And when they hope to travel in the day of tomorrow, bring them safely to the place where they are expected. And all those that are traveling in the midst of us, we ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake. Amen. 337 stanzas 1 through 4. Thy wondrous testimonies, Lord, my soul will keep and greatly praise. Thy word, by faithful lips proclaim to simplest minds, the truth convey. Psalter 337, all stanzas.
Testimonies, Lord.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.